Welcome to America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad to have you along for the hour. Also coming along in a few minutes, we're going to have the political headlines of the day with Senator Ted Harvey out of Colorado. He's the head of the largest pro-Trump PAC in America. Going to talk about that big Mexico deal that's supposed to stem that huge flow of migrants into the U.S. And, you know, President Trump, the art of the deal, he threatened tariffs and Mexico reacted. We'll chat about that in a moment. Kristen Sunana Walker with the Mental Health News Radio Network is going to talk about the decline of play and rise in children's mental disorders. She says there's a new study out that there's a reason kids are more anxious and depressed than ever, and it does have a lot to do with us probably attaching ourselves, all of us, kids too, but kids attaching themselves to their iPads, iPhones, whatever, and not getting out to play. So seems sort of obvious, but we'll tell you about some of the things that went into that study. Also, a wonderful young entrepreneur named Zanita Owens is going to talk to us about trends and accessories for the summer, especially those in handbags. And she has a great story to tell and great quality. Can't wait to show off her stuff and chat with her in just a few minutes. Trending in the news, one person is dead after a helicopter crashed, or at least a hard landing, they say, on a building right in Midtown Manhattan. It was the pilot who died. It just happened to be a very rainy day in New York, foggy. No word on if that attributed to it, but it is definitely worth mentioning as part of the story. We felt the building move, said one person inside. That building right at Times Square, if you know anything about New York, 51st and 7th. And when you're in a building in New York and you feel it shake like that, you know, as they've talked about, just today, people there, if you lived in New York during 9/11, you have a bit of PTSD, and so all kinds of things come into play. But it looks like it was just an accident there. The investigation continues. Another mysterious death of an American tourist in the Dominican Republic, someone who was vacationing there. And this brings the total to six. Six American tourists who've died in recent weeks and a few months back as well. And this has now prompted an investigation by the FBI. The latest reported death, a 67-year-old man from California, and his niece said he died after drinking from the minibar in his room at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Resort in Punta Cana, according, again, to his niece. The same hotel where David Morrison from Maryland died last year. His family is also questioning his sudden death on the island after seeing reports of these other Americans, including an engaged couple, who died suddenly last month within 5 days of each other. It's just, it's so strange and such a mystery. They haven't put anything together, but they're investigating. And you also may have heard this Sunday, former Red Sox slugger David Ortiz was shot in the Dominican capital of San Domingo. He's reportedly in stable condition. He had been concerned about security there, apparently. President Trump's threat of tariffs, as I mentioned, has gotten the Mexican government to agree to try to do something to stem the tide of migrants. Unprecedented steps now to control illegal migration, those caravans, the crowds. Mexico has agreed to deploy its National Guard and will give priority to its southern border. The U.S. will also reportedly immediately expand its migrant protection protocols, also known as the Remain in Mexico policy. That started at the end of January. People trying to come into the U.S. to seek asylum will be returned to Mexico to wait for their asylum claims to be heard in court. Mexico said it will offer jobs, health care, and education to those asylum seekers. Mexico has also agreed to take action against human smuggling and trafficking. They have 45 days to do all this, or Trump says, you know, he might reimpose tariffs or whatever. Acting ICE director says this is a game changer. Business-wise, stocks were up Monday in light of the news. California is giving huge, huge benefits to illegal aliens. The Democratic-run state, they're going to give some $98 million in health care benefits that California law-abiding citizens will pay for while they struggle to pay for their own health care needs. California, the first state to do this, it is expected to impact some 90,000 illegals expected to pass in the legislature this week. We're back on America Trends right after this.
Give me your attention, baby. I gotta tell you a little something about yourself.
They are calling it nothing short of a full-blown emergency at our southern border. Customs and Border Patrol saying 132 to 144,000 people came through or they had encounters with in the month of May alone. It's the largest in like 12 or 13 years. They've been telling us for months it's out of control, so I just cannot imagine what they are going through. There's a look at some of the numbers, some of the graphics. Yeah, those big lines going up like that. Very scary. We are chatting right now and for this segment or two with Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President, the largest pro-Trump PAC in America. And Senator Harvey, welcome back. We're so glad to see you. So many big headlines, including, you know, Friday night, just all this fanfare over this big Mexico deal, which, you know, hopefully Mexico will follow through with some of what they're talking about. But President Trump, as he tweeted, he's accomplished something that the American government hasn't been able to do in decades.
That's exactly right. The president has had no help by the U.S. Congress. He has been having to do all of this work with Mexico, with China, with Europe on fair trade and on immigration without any help of the United States Congress. You know, the Nancy Pelosi last week said that somebody needs to have an intervention with Donald Trump. Well, I think that the American people need to have an intervention with the U.S. Congress, because come 2020, if they don't start working with the president, I think the American people are going to rise up and throw them out of office, as they should. Here's to the president and his efforts with Mexico over the last 48 hours, and here's to throwing out Congress in 2020.
Yeah, and here's to back to Mexico in a moment, but here's to, you know, trying to have our Congress people and our Speaker of the House, while President Trump is overseas celebrating what the world did to save civilization for D-Day. Not having Nancy Pelosi go on the air and saying he should be in prison, that's ridiculous.
Well, you understand, like as you just said, the president was on the other side of the world celebrating the U.S. victory in World War II, but at the same time, he's negotiating a trade deal and negotiating with Mexico back here in the United States. And he gets all of these great things accomplished without the help of Congress, while Nancy Pelosi is trying to undermine his authority here in the United States. I think that speaks volumes to how successful this president is, but at the same time, speaking to the fact that Nancy Pelosi is losing control of the Democrat Party. And I think if she doesn't move forward with what her radical leftists want on the impeachment front, that she's going to lose her speakership.
It was just such an amazing picture of President Trump and Melania among people who survived D-Day, who are still alive and are yet here for the 75th anniversary.
Unbelievable.
It's so special. And President Trump, he always just, you know, he's so good about shaking hands with everybody. And, you know, partisan politics aside, just like at the Air Force graduation last week, all 1,000, he shook hands. And
yep.
He loves this country. You cannot doubt he loves this country.
And he loves what he's doing. He loves fighting for America. He loves fighting for the American citizens. And, you know, the Air Force Academy is here in Denver, here in Colorado, where I live.
Yeah.
And when he was going to the Air Force Academy, the roads were just lined with people showing support for the president. You look at the Democrat nominees and the rallies that they are having. They may have 200, 300 people showing up at their rallies at a maximum, and the president has thousands and thousands of people lining the streets as he's going to the Air Force Academy. That tells you the difference between the candidates.
Yeah, and it bears mentioning again, we've said it before, but he was offered, they said you can shake hands with the top grad, or you can do just a few of them, or you can do all 1,000, but most people just get out the door. He shook hands and saluted every single one of them, over 1,000 people.
And it was a hot day. It was a hot day. It was outside in Colorado Springs.
Ugh.
And he stood up there, and he's 72 years old, and he stood up there and shook hands with all 1,000 graduates that day. It was pretty impressive.
And as you say, he's overseas, and he's making these deals and getting things done. We really are getting, well, our money's worth, since he's giving back his salary every time. But the man doesn't sleep. He really wants to get things done. We can't say that enough. So back to the Mexico deal. What are some of the tenets? I know the asylum thing. Mexico said they will move their National Guard to the border and to other choke points. And then also Mexico's agreed to immediately begin buying large quantities of agricultural products from our great USA farmers.
And this is a deal that the president and the administration have been working on for a long time. It didn't just all of a sudden come together in 24 hours.
Sure.
But the fact that he was able to put the pressure on Mexico and say, if we don't come to an agreement on this and you don't work with us to try to stop these caravans, we will put on at a minimum a 5% tariff starting today on Monday. And that would go up incrementally over the next several months. Mexico immediately turned around and said, okay, we will sign this agreement that we've been working on for all of these months, and we will fulfill everything that we have said we will. And they have. They've already started putting their National Guard on the southern border, stopping the caravans from coming up. What I would like to know is who is funding it and who are the leaders. And we need to know that. And the Mexican government knows the answers to that question. And I want to hear what the answers are. And I think it's going to come back to be Barack Obama and some of his community activist organizations. I think it will come back to be George Soros. And sadly, I think it will be the Catholic Church that is doing a lot of funding of the humanitarian piece of those that are in the caravans moving north.
Son of a gun. So all that going on, and President Trump said that it came out just earlier today. They have 45 days to get it together and prove they are doing something to stem the flow. Or if not, he'll do something, and that includes reinstating tariffs. The tariffs would have started today, and Mexico agreed Friday night to try to get it together.
That's right. That's right. And you know, thank God the president is finally standing up to what's going on in Mexico. We've had, what now, four or five presidents over the last 30 years mm-hmm. that have done nothing, that have abdicated their responsibility, their leadership role of protecting our sovereign borders. We finally have a president of the United States who said enough is enough, and he's going to do it with or without the help of the United States Congress. Mm-hmm. That's what he got elected on. That's what the American people rallied to his side on in the 2016 elections. And if the Republicans don't come out and start supporting this president, they will rue the day. And the Democrats, hopefully, we can take back the House of Representatives and help the president push through more of the items on his agenda to solve this border security issue.
The Committee to Defend the President is putting together a huge push to gain more members. We're going to tell you about that right after the break with Senator Ted. You are back with America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad to have you with us here on the U2 America TV network and on BizTalk Radio. We are also joined by Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President, one of the largest, if not the largest, pro-Trump PAC in America. And boy, they have a big accelerated campaign going on now. We're going to tell you about in a few minutes. We know they want to get more people signed up to support Trump. But first, Senator Ted, the news from California. The so-called Golden State, once land of Reagan. And now we are giving, because I'll say we because I live here, $98 million to finance health care benefits for illegal aliens. How precious is that? I mean, I know so many people across the country, but certainly in California, that cannot even afford their own health care. And you can curse Obamacare up one side and down the other. It all just goes along with it. But I suppose it's not shocking with Governor Gavin Newsom and the Democratic-led state everything that we've got going on here. But it just does. Here we go. Oh, Paula Kemp, one of our friends who runs, I think it's called Sister Veterans, or she's helping promote women who are in the military and their rights and stuff. She's been on here before. Super upset with California giving free health care to illegals when my own children who were born here, pay taxes and work hard to live here, have to pay enormous fees for health care or risk medical benefits that can ruin them. Holy cow, Ted.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. We have veterans that are dying because of the long lines at the VA hospitals. And we are not providing them with the medical attention that they need. Yet we are in California, your state, is providing free health care to illegal immigrants. It's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. At what point do we say that the taxpayers of California and the taxpayers of America, because I guarantee you they're getting a lot of federal tax dollars to fund that program as well, has to have limits? One of the famous lines that Governor Lamb of Colorado once said, and he is a very left-wing Democrat governor, is that entitlements have to have borders. You cannot say that we are just going to provide health care for the entire world. We can't put that on the plate of the American taxpayers. You have to have borders, and you have to say, okay, when you reach the sovereign borders of the United States, people outside of those borders are not going to get benefits from the United States taxpayers. But what California is saying is, we are going to open up our borders to the south, and we are going to allow anybody who comes into the United States from any country, but specifically you look at the caravans that are coming up here from South and Central America, can come here, and we will provide you all of the benefits that U.S. taxpayers are funding. And you do that, and that's going to bankrupt the state of California. And if we continue down that road, which it seems the Democrat Party fully wants to do, we're going to bankrupt the United States, because the American taxpayers only have so much money, and socialism only works as long as you have until you run out of other people's money. And that is where we are heading quickly with these kind of policies being put in place.
Yeah, and, you know, in California, we don't have cold hearts, conservatives and people who are saying enough already. But we do, we can do math, and we know that money will run out, and we know that we can't pay. You've seen the state of San Francisco and Los Angeles. They say it's beyond a third world country. You're insulting modern third world countries. That's really something medieval. The homeless, the disease outbreaks, they cannot take care of what's going on there as it is. But meanwhile, the California will become the first state to help these illegals. It's expected to impact some 90,000 illegals. Ages 19 to 25, want to get all the facts there, and only if they're low income. But of course they're low income, because that's why they came here.
Right, and I would too. If I lived in those socialist hellholes, I would do everything I possibly could to get my family up to the United States to provide a better opportunity in a free market capitalist society that we have. The reason why these countries are failing is because of the socialist policies. So now they're coming up here to the United States, and your governor is implementing the same socialist policies that destroyed these countries that they are running away from. It doesn't take a lot of imagination to see what will eventually happen. Look at Venezuela and what is happening there today.
Ted, you just want to sit and ponder, because it's so aggravating and heartbreaking and so very frustrating, especially for California residents. There's already so much that we have to complain and whine about, including we chatted last week about just even driving. You know, if you're illegal, you can get off. Here we have smog, the license taxes, the tags. They're outrageous. But you know, if I get pulled over, maybe I should just say I'm illegal. And I don't mean to be hyperbolic or a smart aleck, but it's the
legitimate
truth here. It's the way it is in California, and it could spread easily.
It's the same thing that's happening here in Colorado as well. When I was in the legislature, I carried the bill to outlaw driver's license for illegal immigrants.
Thank you.
And in 2014, I saw the Democrats repeal that law. I carried the bill to outlaw sanctuary cities in Colorado. I saw the Democrats repeal that law. As soon as they took control over the legislature and the governor's office, they started implementing the same policies that California is implementing. And I see Colorado going in the same direction. And the rest of the country is not far behind if we don't take back the House of Representatives in 2020 and continue to elect Donald Trump in 2020.
We want to mention, a few minutes left, the CDP, your group, is teaming with the Great American PAC to try to get 1 million pro-Trump supporters signed. What exactly are you doing, Senator?
Registered to vote.
Right.
When we were working in the Tennessee election in 2018 to make sure that Marsha Blackburn to get elected,
oh, sure.
um, she, we identified 300,000 Trump supporters who typically don't vote in off-year elections. And we found out who they were, and we got them to the polls to make sure that they voted. And you saw Marsha Blackburn's numbers shoot through the roof once we started spending $1.1 million to get those 300,000 voters out to vote. But there are millions of voters in this country, that millions of people in this country that are not registered to vote yet, that are pro-Trump supporters, they're pro-gun, they're church-going people, they are God-fearing American patriots, that for some reason or another, they aren't registered to vote because they just don't think that their vote matters.
Oh,
I assure you, their vote matters in 2020. So we're going to spend millions of dollars, the Committee to Defend the President and the Great American PAC with Ed Rollins, we are going to register 1 million voters in the key swing states to make sure that those Trump supporters get registered to vote and get out to vote in the 2020 elections.
Ted, I know we can go to your website and just hit the donate button so we can support this cause, but are you also looking for, I don't know, grassroots, feet on the ground, people to help go out and help sign people, or just what else do you need from us?
Well, we certainly will be doing that over the next year. But right now, we are focusing on raising the money to be able to implement this. It costs a lot of money to identify who those people are, figure out those conservatives on Facebook, figure out those conservatives on social media, find out where they are registered for what magazines they get, and you put all of that into an analysis to see who are the most conservative people are that are out there that are not registered, and then we'll start contacting them through social media, through the mail, and then door to door, knocking on their personal doors, getting them registered to vote and out to vote in the 2020 election.
Boy, Senator Ted Harvey and his people are really doing the legwork. All we have to do is go to committeetodefendthepresident.com, hit the donate button, and you've done your bit, or you can do more, of course. Also Twitter at defend_Trump, and he is on Facebook too. Senator Ted, will you keep us posted on all that's going on?
Most definitely. Also follow us on Facebook at Committee to Defend the President. We're trying to get to 1 million followers.
Rates of depression and anxiety among young people in America have been increasing steadily for the past several decades. Do you know how many? 50 to 70 years. So, okay, what all goes into this? There is a new study out that shows a reason why kids might be more anxious and depressed than ever, and it is focusing on the decline of play. And, you know, in recent decades, we can attach that to children being more attached to their iPhones and their iPads, etc. We are chatting during this segment with Kristen Sunata Walker, our friend of the show and CEO and one of the hosts on the MHNR Network, Mental Health News Radio Network.com. The actual address, let me get this, mentalhealthnewsradio.com. And she's been interviewing leaders in the behavioral health community for decades, started the podcast a few years back, has 50 different podcasts now, downloaded in over 170 countries. And she has some new, interesting, really cool advances happening with the network we're going to chat about in a moment. But first, welcome back, Kristen.
Hi, Amy. Glad to be here. And I love this topic.
It's such a good topic because, you know, it's always been kids these days and what's happening to our kids and times they are changing. This isn't what happened to us. But basically, this new study out of San Diego, someone from SDSU named Jean Twenge, that's San Diego State University, said that the decline of play is attached to the rise of children's mental disorders. And that could be why kids are more anxious and depressed than ever. So what stood out to you about this study, Kristen?
Well, what stood out to me is how many education programs we cut that are related to, you know, the arts. We have even sports, even though that's extremely popular. We do have some sports that are being cut from programs. We have recess times being cut, longer school hours. I mean, there's so many things where that creative part, theater being cut from public schools. So we have these outlets that kids had to go and be messy and play and discover things about themselves, replaced with things that force kids to discover and pay attention to things outside of themselves. And that is a recipe for what we're seeing now, which is that increase in mental health disorders.
And what's so interesting, I felt, about this study too, is that it's not just the past 10, 15 years with the advanced technology that you and I just, it would be so foreign to us when we were children. But the way they studied this had to do with a questionnaire used to assess a variety of mental disorders that had been given to large samples of college students through the U.S. going back as far as 1938. And the MMPI-A, that's a version used with younger adolescents, had been given to samples of high school students going back as far as 1951. So what this amounts to, I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but this is just so interesting that they think this goes back to the 50s when it started deteriorating. And so that's interesting, because what do we have then? Well, you know, people back from war, kids who've been through, you know, whatever they dealt with then. And then you've got, you know, television, radio been around for a couple decades. It just sort of makes you wonder. I mean, I guess we just used to sit around the piano and play biblical hymns and play at the creek, and maybe that was altogether better, and work in the fields, by the way.
Well, you know, we had this this ability to go leave our homes and go, you know, play out. I mean, I came back when the lamppost started to dim, and yep, there was no phone connected to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wasn't born in the 50s, or I hope it's obvious anyway that I wasn't born in the 50s. But even still, I had that ability to go out and just play and discover myself and discover what was important to me. And I think with this fast-paced, ever-increasing over the decades, you know, bent itself towards technology, that's where we've seen this incredible disconnect between what we discover that's important for us, what our values are, the ability to make a lot of mistakes. That's what's been driven out of and marked as bad for kids. And of course, that's made them more disconnected from themselves and more reliant on things outside of themselves, which leads to disconnection and mental health issues.
Well, Psychology Today, the publication, reported on this, and one of their headlines, or one of the heads of the little sections where they break it up, says it's a decline in young people's sense of personal control over their fate. But you have to wonder, maybe it's because there is so much choice and people barely know where to direct themselves. And also, I'm just going to do a little reading here, Kristen, because this is pretty cool. The increased psychopathology seems to have nothing to do with realistic dangers and uncertainties around the world. The changes don't correlate with economic cycles, wars, or any other kinds of world events that people often talk about that you would presume would have an impact on children's mental states. Rates of anxiety and depression during the Great Depression, World War II, the Cold War, and the turbulent 60s and 70s than they are today, it didn't have to do with that. They have much more to do with the way young people view the world than with the way the world actually is. Do you glean anything from that, or is it just a lot of words and a lot of semantics?
No, I can definitely see where that's coming from, and I bring it all the way back to things like TV. Mm-hmm. Again, it's that looking out. I mean, when did we stop going out to play? Well, when we came in and sat down around a TV.
Yeah.
Different thing with radio. When you sit down and listen to a radio show, which is what, you know, my grandmother did, yeah, it brought the family together. When you sat down and listened to radio and listened to music, it brought the family together. TV, that visual piece with audio, is so all-encompassing. Mm-hmm. And then bringing in advertisers to try to manipulate what it is you want to buy, that seems to be when this kind of started to make its mark. Mm-hmm. And that's what's listed in a lot of these studies, which I find that piece really interesting. And we've only gotten more of that part, haven't we?
That's so true. Well, we'll see what happens next. I can't help but go back to even before radio, Kristen, when, you know, you think of things that we've seen in media like Little House on the Prairie and things like that, because that's, you know, that's how we affiliate it. That's what we glean, because we've seen this on TV. And, you know, you had the piano, you had dad playing the fiddle, you had people reading the Bible and figuring out, what are we going to do today? And it was always done together. So it's just such a marked difference in 100 years or so. And it's just, you know, it just goes to show. So much more we can say, but there they are. It's so funny, too, the radio, but people would sit around and stare at it.
Yes.
What else are you going to stare at? Right? So I know that you are now producing digital film series for television and film based on mental health topics, your whole network. So there are some great things happening. I want to give you a chance to brag.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of funny. We're talking about film here, and here it is. You know, it's part of the problem. But,
but it see, also it can be used for bad good. Or good, and you are using it for all kinds of good, Kristen.
Yes, we're doing mentalhealthtabletalks.com, which anyone can go to that site and find out more information. But it is literally film of people sitting down and having very deep, connected conversations. And you know, I'm used to having those kind of conversations several times a day. And my guests remind me, and my show editors remind me, some people have those conversations once a year or once in a lifetime. So they're just films of those kind of conversations to normalize what it is to be really connected and vulnerable and authentic with other people.
Now, 10 seconds, but are these available already, or are they still in production?
They're in post-production. We will have some behind-the-scenes footage going up next month.
Oh, good. Well, we'll get an update in coming weeks from you. Kristen, thank you so much for all you do.
Absolutely. Thanks, Amy.
You bet. Anita Owens talking about trends in accessories back after this. Love to keep you updated on some of the trends in fashion, and we are so blessed this hour to have our friends Anita Owens in with I can't even, those are so cute right there, a little waffle weave. ZanitaOwens.com is what we're looking at right now. She is a luxury handbag designer from San Diego. She's been featured in Vogue UK multiple times and in Tatler and along the Southern California coast. And I just want to say welcome to Zanita. So nice to see you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
We are too. We have a few of your little selections on the table.
Yes,
and
this
we is do. A great big, I love that. That holds everything, right?
Yes, this one's one of my favorite ones. It's called the Mary Tote, named after my mom.
Named after your mom.
You know, yeah. And this beige color is very custom. So I customize everything, so it's really, per person.
Goes with everything. So you really have an input on what goes on with them.
I do.
Okay, so let's just, before we get into it and the quality of them and what's in style, how did you get started in all this? I mean, what a fun thing to be. You're living your best life, right, Zanita?
I am living my best life right now. And it's a hard life. Being an entrepreneur is not easy, but it's great. As a fashion designer, I started off at San Diego State, and then I've been here in San Diego ever since then. All of my things here are well and made in the United States. So just to start here in the United States was my biggest goal.
Okay, so that's huge. So you got your investors. Your mom was one of them.
Yeah.
So named her after Mary, right?
Yes.
And then, but that is huge to take fashion and really be able to come up in it, because a lot of people would love to do that. But you have to have vision, tenacity, and a great style, which you do.
Right, thank you, and a little bit of luck.
And a little bit, but it is so much hustle, though.
Yes.
Yeah? And good quality stuff. So what made you say, I think I can really do this?
Well, you know, I met a lot of other designers, and everybody has great stuff, like you were saying, and it is such a concentrated industry to be in, where you're not meeting the next great another designer as well. And what really was a deciding factor for me was the fact that I had so much support in San Diego already. Mm-hmm. People in San Diego are the best. You know, they just keep pushing you. They always want you to fulfill your dreams. And I wasn't for San Diego or like my own family, like my mom as being the first investor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to get it this far.
Well, but the fact that you made it a goal and a priority to have these made in the USA. Were you born and raised in California?
No, actually, I was born in Maryland. My dad's a former Marine, but I lived in San Diego. Thank you. Yeah. We lived in San Diego the majority of my life. Mm-hmm. From the Miramar base to Poway, now to North County. Yeah. So yeah, so we've been here forever.
That's all bedroom communities. This airs nationwide, so just to explain, bedroom communities of San Diego. But the fact is, it really takes a lot. And some investors will say you should do this overseas. It's a much better margin, much better return. But to do it here is something very special. What kind of words of encouragement can you give to other people who would really like to make their product work and have it produced in the USA?
I would say figure out your profit margins first and what is going to be the target market for your demographic for your product, mm-hmm. and then go from there. But it is such an honor to meet so many manufacturers here in the United States that there's not a lot, but the few that are here are very good quality.
Hmm.
So I know.
So, well, that's good to know, and I really applaud you for doing it.
Thank you.
So what is in for spring and into summer?
My gosh.
Summer's just a couple weeks away.
Not to be good stuff. I'm really excited. Okay, so right now we have prints. Prince is in right now. As you can tell, I'm wearing Prince, Amy's wearing Prince. If it's not about being an individual, this summer is the best summer to stand out. You're gonna see lots of neon colors. You're gonna have your whites too. And don't be afraid of the neutrals, but don't be afraid to have a splash of color at the same time.
See, I've heard about that. It's called pattern play when you get like a pattern with a, mm-hmm. but see this, okay, so this is called the Marionette song. This matches everything for everybody. I just love that. But you also have this collection here called the Naomi.
Yes, so we are just starting with our Naomi clutches. We have a ton of patterns, very bright colors. We're still keeping it very kind of neutral, but fun, uh-huh. when you're gonna go out for the night or, date night, girls night, whatever. So we're getting there, but this is all French leather, goat suede inside. Jeez. Everything's luxury status here. So it's a great way to kind of, go out, look simple, but you're actually carrying something of good quality.
This, I can't tell you how attractive, this actually looks better in person than on camera. It does look luxurious. And
the
thing I love about this, I have so many clutches where I can't even get my iPhone Plus in there.
Oh.
this has that and so much mm-hmm. more. What is the price point on a clutch like this?
This one is starting out at $400, mm-hmm. I believe, just because of the quality again. You can't get the quality anymore. You can't get the stitching. All the zippers are zip. You can hear it zip. It's just like butter, I say.
Well, enough with quantity. And we want quality. Something that'll last. And, the space of it all. And, we have so many things. People want to be minimalist. So if you can buy something that's really quality, that's great. And they can find it at your website. Can you tell us again?
Yes. It's at ZanitaOwens.com. ZANETA. I know it's a hard name, but you're gonna love everything on there.
It's very pretty.
And Amy is gonna have one. I have one. I always have one on me. So if you see me out in public, make sure you ask to stop me.
I also think it's cool that you do all this. And she was telling you, you've been in British Vogue a few times and in Tatler and things like that. And we have you can go on your Instagram account and you've got such really fun pictures there. Oh, there you are. Is that?
Yes.
Oh my.
Yep, that's one of ours from our Vogue UK. Posing as just one of the designers to follow for this season. Like I said before, we're in Tatler. We're also, if you're in the San Clemente area, which is in San Diego, San Diego,
yeah, just
North County.
North of San Diego, yeah.
We're there,
Diego,
yeah, on Del Mar Road, the main pier road.
So can people come to you or just buy online? They can come to you too?
Yeah, they can come to me. I'm always around I'm in San Diego, so I'm always around San Diego, a bunch of fashion events. But I'm in Los Angeles, here. You can go to our website, Rascals Boutique in San Clemente. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of different options to find our product.
Okay, I don't want you to give away the store, but what kind of advice can you give to someone who wants to get into accessories?
Accessories, find your niche. Find out what makes you tick. What are you always wearing, I say. If you're wearing cherry print, which is also another good trend this season, go into cherry print. Go into vintage.
Cherries, cute little cherries.
Yeah,
I
know, right? It's another good trend coming out. If you're into big, bold, neon or big, bold, graphics, do that. Accessories, you'll find someone that loves what you love anywhere. So just do that and follow your passion.
It really shows if you have a passion. Some people I know have tried to expand and say, we should add this and expand because it feels right.
Right.
But if they don't have a passion for it, you might as well just stay
exactly.
with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can get it anywhere, but what really sells it is that you love it and they're going to love it too.
About 30 seconds. What's the next big thing for you? Do you think you'll expand into more than purses or you just want to keep growing your line every season?
I think we're going to do an online boutique and it's going to be called Lord Owens. So that's my biggest next thing.
Oh.
Kind of combine the two things. My last name is Owens, clearly. So there's Lord Owens and there's Anita Owens. And so I think we're going to kind of expand it, make sure do more dresses, accessories, like you're saying, and also meet the designers. And I would love to help other designers and be on Lord Owens as well.
Oh, that's not well. You have to give us updates and come back to America Trends.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Me too. Yeah. Okay, so the website is ZanitaOwens.com, and you're also on Facebook at Zanita Handbags, and boy, they are, you will just grab a glass of wine and just sit here and shop, yes. People. Zanita, thank you so much. We'll see
you next
time, okay?
Thank you so much, yes.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Talking to your friends.
You are with America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller here on the U2 America TV network and on Viz Talk Radio. Thank you for coming along, and please do check us out 24/7 on any of our websites. Got U.S. News right there. You can click around, see our programming and social media as well. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Let's all connect and be friends. It'll be fun. And also want to thank our guests who are here. You know, the Viz Talk Radio podcast you can find too, and live as well, 3 times a day. Thank you to our guest, Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President, with some of the political headlines of the day. Kristen Sunana Walker of the Mental Health News Radio Network talking about a new study out showing that anxiety and depression among kids have risen because there's just not as much play that goes on, and playing on your phone and tablets don't count, or on your console on the TV apparently don't count. You have to get out and just horse around in the creek, apparently. Also, we say thank you to Zanita Owens of ZanitaOwens.com. She has got these, boy, gorgeous luxury French leather handbags. And gosh, there's a little sample of her new Naomi collection, and they are gorgeous and roomy enough. Gosh, you can put 5 iPhones in there, iPhone pluses even. Hey, finally tonight, we're going to leave you with a new trailer that's dropped that is trending. It's a new show with a movie coming out in September. Brad Pitt, Donald Sutherland, Tommy Lee Jones, Liv Tyler. And here's what they say. Astronaut Roy McBride travels to the outer edges of the solar system to find his missing father and unravel a mystery that threatens the very survival of our planet. Who could miss that? We'll show you a bit as we say goodbye for now.
What are you thinking about?
I do what I do because of my dad. He was a hero. He gave his life for the pursuit of knowledge.
Patrol, if you're getting that, over.
It's crazy out there. There's fires everywhere and plane crashes. They're calling it the Surge.
Major, we have some highly classified information.
What can you tell us about the Lima Project?
Its objective was to search for advanced extraterrestrial life. The ship disappeared approximately 16 years into the mission.
And the commander was?
He was my father, sir.
This might come as quite a shock to you. Your father was experimenting with a highly classified material that could threaten our entire solar system. All life would be destroyed. We're counting on you to find out what's happening out there.
I worry about you. I love you.
Please begin your psychological evaluation. As best you can, please describe your current mental and emotional state.
I'm feeling good. Ready to do my job to the best of my abilities.
I remain fully committed to the lawful completion of the mission. If
necessary, I will destroy the project in its entirety.